thanks for listening and for being a part of Jason Q's Citizen and Friends on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back to the second hour of the program on TNT Radio, and shortly I'm going to introduce a new guest to my program, and his name is Harry Hatzikalymnios. Now, it won't be a spelling test for the listeners, but many people would probably just call him Harry Hatzi, and he'll be on the program in a moment. Harry is a retired Australian Federal Police officer, and he is one of the brave boys in blue who is fighting against the tyranny, and he is in at home here on this program. Now, before we get into the interview, there's some important stats that I'd like to discuss, and this is one of my favorite topics. I don't know how I became such a statistical observer that really enjoys digging into them, but I think it's because it just pains me that authority can present numbers and weave a narrative that is entirely against what the numbers show. And we're going to go through them now, a couple of minutes, and I'll tell you what, you'll be shaking your head and going, goodness me, how do they get away with it? So these are the weekly numbers that come out in New South Wales, and it's for the week ending 30 July. So they're a little bit old, but they're the latest ones that we've got, which means that the next ones will be out in a day or so. Now, in that week, a week to 30 July, there were 886 official hospitalizations for COVID across the state, resulting in 84 people being admitted to ICU, but strangely, 164 deaths. So if you're hospitalized, you're around about a 1 in 6 chance of succumbing at that point to COVID. So hospital's got an 85 to 86% survival rate once you get there. Interestingly, though, not everyone who passes away gets into ICU. Many don't even get there. But generally, the results are along the lines of, as I said, 1 in 6, except if you're unvaccinated. Only 2 unvaccinated people were admitted to hospital, and yet 13 people died, which is the one anomaly in all these numbers. But anyway, let's have a look more seriously at where we're going here to explain what's happening. In that week in New South Wales, there are officially 164 deaths to COVID. Out of those 164 deaths, 92% of them, that's 151, were in people aged 70 or higher. That means that these are all people who have reached retirement age and are just 10 years away from life expectancy. That's 92%. So only 8% of deaths result in people of working age, that is, for argument's sake, under the age of 70. Now, under the age of 50, there was 1 death out of 164. 1. That's less than 0.5%. 1 person. Does that put a little bit of perspective on what's going on? And of course, that is unvaccinated and vaccinated. So clearly, this is a disease of the elderly. It's obvious. And this is probably the reason why the politicians are running out of excuses to corral all of us, so they have to move into other narratives. But beyond that, we get a breakdown of the vaccination status of those who are succumbing. 58 of 164 lives who passed away had 4, or would you believe, more doses. 4 or more. That is 35%. Now, interestingly, not 35% of the population has even had 4 or more doses. Now, 69 deaths were in those that have had 3 doses. That's 42%. And 10% or 17 deaths were in those who have only had 2 doses. So again, those numbers support the idea that it is all amongst the elderly. So why then do people who are young take any more? And clearly, in general terms, the population is working this out for themselves. And they've got here 13 deaths in those that have had no dose, which is roughly 7.9% of those people, which roughly correlates to the 95% who had had any vaccination at all. So what we're finding is a very, very slight increase in the elderly that have chosen not to take the vaccine that are succumbing, but still many who are unvaccinated a fine, even in the elderly status, according to the numbers that we've got. So it should provide plenty of confidence for those who have decided that they will not take any more jabs, even at the expense of losing their jobs. And it's very, very important, therefore, that when we listen to Harry and what he's got to say, particularly as the police are now being told to mandate for a fourth jab, and there is literally no reason for anyone of working age to have to go down this pathway. So we're going to talk about the illogical process of what's going on. And this is at the exact time that we see that the cricketers over in the Commonwealth Games were happy to play even whilst testing positive. If we get COVID, so be it. Outrage as Australian women's cricketer who tested positive for the virus hugs teammates after winning Commonwealth Games gold. But why did they let her play? Talia McGrath was permitted to play at Edgbaston in Birmingham yesterday despite testing positive. She batted and bowled and took a catch that dismissed one of the players and went on to win. Wouldn't you know it? This is how it operates in this crazy world that we live in today. One rule when it suits and another rule again when it suits. Did you know there are many ways that you can listen to TNT Radio? Why not stream us direct from our website on your desktop, laptop, or tablet mobile device, or download our app from the App Store? We even stream live on YouTube, Rumble, and Odyssey. We've got you covered on TNT Radio.
Connecting the dots, painting the bigger picture.
They always have great conversation.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Harry Hatsi Kalymnios was a former Detective Senior Constable of the Australian Federal Police with over 23 years of service. He joined the AFP way back in 1982. He's been involved in covert operations. He's been involved in different investigative areas, including being part of the legal section. And he served as an investigator of the New South Wales Independent Commission Against Corruption for 5 years. And he's gone on and owned and operated several businesses. It seems to me that what Harry doesn't know is not worth knowing. Harry, welcome to Jason Q, Citizen and Friends.
Yeah, good evening, Jason, and thank you for having me on.
It's it's a great privilege to have anyone who has served and certainly served for as long and as dedicated as yourself to be on this program to speak the truth and to challenge the great narrative that's out there. And I am assured that you have the battle scars to prove it. When did your world turn upside down in this big fiasco?
Well, look, up until 2008, I was probably, like most people, I was working several businesses, you know, with the family. Then the global financial crisis hit. And when that happened, all of a sudden, the money dried up. It didn't make sense to me. So I just started following the money trail, and I kept running across information that, you know, and this is how an investigator, anyone that's truly a critical thinker, and when you go to a crime scene or anywhere and you're investigating an individual or an organisation, you always have an open mind. So that's how you should be thinking, and put everything else to one side, and don't be clouded by any other undue influences. So it didn't make sense. I started following the money. I came across certain information, and I thought, okay, well, that's interesting. Well, I don't know if that's correct. Anyway, I just went to disprove everything. And unfortunately, what happened was I was able to find the documents on the government websites, think tanks, and pretty much confirm every bit of information that I came across that conflicted with what I believe to be my perception of reality, actually proved that what I was brought up to through my schooling and things that I learned that I thought were true and correct were actually not quite true, and in many cases untrue and very incorrect. And basically from that, it led me to 2010. I became aware of Operation Lockstep, which is what we've just gone through. They did try this in 2003 with SARS-CoV-1, but they didn't have all their people in the right places, a la World Economic Forum and all the world leaders and the health bureaucrats. And pretty much I knew this was coming. I have been speaking out, telling everyone within my circle what's going on and what to expect. But, you know, a lot of people just take it with a grain of salt. They think it's a conspiracy theory. By the way, conspiracy is an actual offence, and what it is, it's two or more people with common purpose. So that's all it is, to have a conspiracy, and it's an actual charge. So that's what happened, and then I actually got early. I listened to the independent press overseas. I don't really watch the mainstream media other than get the sound bites or the little bits of information to see where the narrative is, as opposed to where the reality is. Yes. And then what happened was I knew this was coming because this COVID-19 or whatever, it wasn't called that at the time, but it was around September earlier in 19. So there were things going on there. And then we saw what was happening in Wuhan, and then the lockdown came, and like everyone else, initially I was concerned because I understand what they were doing over at Wuhan, North Carolina, when Obama was president, with the gain of function. There is a UN treaty which outlaws that, and it is an offence to be treating or to be using these viruses or these bioweapons actually, to be actually playing with them. But they justify it by saying, look, if there's a bio attack, we need to be able to neutralise them, and that's how they've been getting away with this, and been able to actually do all this experimentation. So for the initial 2-4 months, I was concerned. I was quite cautious, not knowing what we were dealing with. But then it became very evident that what we were dealing with wasn't as bad as what they were saying. And Scott Morrison said initially, this only affect 15-20% of the elderly immune compromised. The rest will go on as usual, and it went from that to 2 weeks to flatten the curve, till 2 weeks later we've got mass formation psychosis where people are still walking around in fear. The psychological operation that's gone on over the 2 years, it only takes 2 months to convince someone that something is real and they won't believe anything else. So after 2 years, the population that cannot see or cannot discern or cannot critically think and find the facts for themselves, and who are following their leaders blindly, will not think in any other way. So it's very sad to see where we're at. And now people have been forced into taking an experimental medical procedure that has killed every animal in the last 23 years. It's not new. It's been around for 23 years and has never been able to work effectively and killed all the animals, and that's why they bypassed the animal testing and went straight to the test subjects, which are us, and it's till 2023. So it's very sad to see what's happening, and your statistics and what you were talking about earlier, we're now seeing the fallout of where these policies have led us blindly without, and the numbers are out, the statistics are out. So there's no need for what's been going on in the last few months, but they're still soldiering down this road and trying to keep the narrative going. Ukraine didn't fare very well for them, so we're back to COVID now.
Mm. Goodness me. You know, Harry, you're the first person that I've spoken to that's been able to mention gain of function in North Carolina, and I assume that you are talking specifically about Fort Detrick?
That's correct. Look, what people must understand is that every virus is actually patented. They're a bioweapon. Now, what people must understand, and I'm only dealing from evidence, now we've got the Biosecurity Act 2015. Now, where the biohazard officer can quarantine someone, but it's got to be in writing and it's got to be on the individual and it's got to actually state the infectious disease. Now, the issue I have, and being a police officer, I can only deal in fact and what I know, and we're talking about evidence that will stand up in court. Now, the issue I have with this is that the virus has never been isolated and purified under cautious postulates. Now, that is a gold standard four-step process. All they've done is a part genome of a computer simulation. Now, that is not the gold standard that needs to be proven. Now, the other issue I have with it, the Commonwealth Health Department and no state health department has got any documentation that proves that the actual virus has been isolated. There's been many, many freedom information requests put in and they do not hold any documents. Now, when you go to court and you fight any of these fines, infringements, they get dropped. They do not fly because they cannot produce any evidence. And it's the same thing with National Cabinet. They don't release the documents because they've got no evidence. And that's all I can do is go with what I know and what I know to be fact. And I, what I do know is there's no documents to support what's gone on in the last 2 years, and they've released none. And we know that because they haven't done this, the gold standard test, and they've been asked to produce the documents under FOI that to do with COVID-19, SARS-CoV-2, and there is nothing there. And then what's even more alarming, the RT-PCR test is not fit for purpose. Now, the gentleman that got the Nobel Prize for this, Kerry Mullis, he passed in about September 19, and he's been going after Fauci for many years, and he was involved with AIDS. Now, the issue we have is that that he said that test does not mean that it's to identify exosomes or genetic material that have been in your body. They do not on their own state or show that you're sick or that you're infected. And they've been using that test, and you shouldn't cycle it more than 24 cycles or amplify that. In 2020, they were amplifying it at 40 to 44 times. And so that's why everyone was testing positive for, because everyone's got remnants of something that they've had some sort of infection that their immune system's responded to. And everyone said, well, you're positive, but you've got no symptoms. Asymptomatic means you're not sick. You know, you only went to the doctor when you had symptoms. And that, in a nutshell, was how they were able to get the case numbers up on a flawed test, which was discontinued last year because it only had provisional emergency use authorization by the FDA, and it didn't pass because it wasn't fit for purpose. Now we're using a rat test, which is even worse. So, yeah, we keep soldiering on with the same narrative based on no evidence and no government health department coming forward with any evidence to back up their claim. So this whole response to what's transpired has been disproportionate and an overreach.
Yeah, you couldn't have said it any better. There's lots of questions I would like to ask you. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, a whole lot more with Harry, who is retired Australian Federal Police. And if you want to hear from an investigator, you're hearing it firsthand. And I bet there are many, many of you listening right now saying, goodness me, Harry is speaking and just looking at the evidence exactly the way I have. So that should give everyone a whole lot more confidence that we're all on the right track. Don't go anywhere. This is TNT Radio.
TNT Radio's Jeremy Nell.
My worldview tends to be around a set of core values. And in many ways, the postmodern cultural Marxist way of approaching things is to disrupt core values. In other words, nothing means anything anymore. Question everything. You can have 546 genders. White people are evil. Black people can't be racist. And so on and so forth. The entire fabric of reality gets destroyed if you allow too much liberal thinking.
Jeremy Nell and Germ Warfare on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
A lot of people may not agree with us right now, but there may come a time when they actually have an issue that affects them, that they don't have the freedom to choose. And if we don't preserve it, we won't have it.
Get to see this for yourself.
We begin this new week with an extraordinary moment in our history. 18 days into this truck convoy, and the federal government invoked a security measure that goes beyond anything seen in this country in the last 50 years.
Banks will be told to freeze the accounts of anyone helping finance the protests. And the owners of vehicles jamming streets will be directly targeted.
Trucking for Freedom, Chapter 1, How We Got Here. Visit truckingforfreedom.com.
Instead of putting a cracker under a politician, why not some TNT? Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back to the Jason Q Citizen and Friends program. Harry, we were talking before the break about the idea that there was no evidence, and of course the gold standard being the PCR test. I remember Bill Gates coming out, waving his hands around with his high-pitched voice. The gold standard is the PCR test. And we've already established that with no, of course, evidence to support it. My question to you is this, is when authority has no evidence to do something and they want to get something across, such as getting the Pfizer jab, which went through the the Freedom of Information request, and we found out that they didn't rely on any data at all to approve it. Is this all they have to do is just put it into a process and hide behind said process and hope that nobody looks? And if they do, like you're doing, they just turn a blind eye and just continue on regardless. Is it as simple as that?
Well, unfortunately, what's transpired is we've had a monumental failure of leadership and management. And it just, I think it's just coming down to just following orders. Like the orders come from above, and this is what we're going to do. And they just ratify because we've got to get this vaccine out, which is, it's not a vaccine. A vaccine has to do two things. It has to actually protect you from the disease it purports to protect you from, and it's also has to stop you from transmitting it. Now, Kerry Chant, the Chief Health Officer in New South Wales, has said very clearly on several occasions, go and get the experimental medical, even if you get the experimental medical procedure, it still won't protect you. You can still pass it on. You've got to wear a mask. So, you know, I can't see how they, you know, just based on what they're saying, it's a contradiction. How can they approve something if they're saying it doesn't work? Now, the problem they've got is they've got to convince the people that have taken two and are still testing positive that they need the third and then the fourth, and that it's not as effective as they thought. And then they've got to try and convince the people that don't want to take an experimental medical procedure that it actually works. So, you know, everywhere you look at it, no matter which way you look at it, it's a contradiction. Now, they're gaslighting. They're lying to everyone. Mm. You know, they may believe all this stuff. They've been trained in, well, look, I'm Greek background. Now, pharmakia is in the Bible. Pharmakia is witchcraft and sorcery. So, you know, what they've done is they've inverted everything. And if you look at everything, and this is what I tell people, when you're looking at the mainstream media and they're talking about anything like this, if you actually just flip it upside down, you're closer to the truth than what they're telling you. Now, what they've managed to do is to invert reality. You know, what's traditional and natural healing and vitamins is now snake oil, and they've turned snake oil, pharmakia, which is poison, into medicine. They think that a pill will fix everything. And unfortunately, people have been getting vaccinations from young, and a lot of people don't even realise it's an experiment. They think it's just another vaccination that's going to protect them from this latest virus or tetanus or whatever, and that's not the case. And quite clearly, they're lying to everyone. And that's very sad to see this. And people want to do the right thing. They want to protect grandma, grandpa, and the immune compromised, whatever. So they're taking advantage of people's good nature and goodwill, because, you know, 95% of people want to do the right thing. So what they're doing is, any way you look at it, they're taking advantage of them, and they're trusting their health officials, because they're in a white lab coat. If they were in an SS uniform, they may look up and have another think. But they're trusting the doctor, because most people trust their doctor, trust the advice, and they're going along with it and believe that what they're doing is in their best interests, which is not necessarily the case.
That's the part that hurts the most, pardon me, is the breach of trust in authority. Yeah. And it's relentless. And so it is that the few that are able to put their hand up and say, no, I'm not doing this anymore, are still mocked and ridiculed. And it must pain you, Harry, that after such a long career and a diverse career, there's not an area of the law in your policing that you didn't get an experience with in terms of investigation. Would there be anyone that you know that has that level of ability to be able to have done the investigations that you have done to arrive at the conclusions that you have? And how then would it be possible that you are still not being able to get any traction?
Yeah, look, what we're doing, we've got modern day book burning, which is the social media banning everything. I mean, I'm banned again for 30 days on Facebook. I'm on Telegram and on Twitter. We've got Cops for Covered Truth, Cops for Truth, which I'm part of. We've got policeforfreedom.org, which is an international movement. But we're being shadow banned. We're not, the mainstream media is just not touching anything that's outside the narrative, as you know. It's just the independent media. There are platforms out there, but it's hidden. And it's amazing how many people you speak to that haven't even heard about what's been going on the last years about the the protests or the rallies and things like that, and the doctors, APRA. Look, and they're doing a very good job, but unfortunately, the problem is now that they're having is that there's been so many people are being injured from these medical experiments, from these medical experimental procedure, that they're finding it very hard to keep a lid on it because the hospitals are full. I mean, I speak to paramedics, nurses, and people in the front line, and what's coming through. You got the firefighters, and you know, undertakers, and everywhere, and everyone I speak to, knows someone that's either got very ill or has died all of a sudden. And you know, I don't know how much longer they can keep this narrative going for too much longer, because soon everyone's going to have someone that's just dropped dead. And the old SADS, which is the modern day version of SIDS, which was to do with children just dying suddenly because of and not long after a vaccination, and you've got to look at cause and effect. If you've taken something, and if you've had a vaccination and within 48 hours something happens to you medically, it's cause and effect. The conclusion is based on reasonable assumptions, if there's no other issue, that's been the cause. But they seem to have thrown all the science, the sound science, out the window and just going with whatever narrative. I mean, the other day we had a report that someone in America passed a university degree, was so happy and they had a heart attack. So, I mean, you know, look, it's quite unbelievable that people actually even listening and reading this stuff and believing it.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree with you. We're going to pause for news headlines and a whole lot more when we come back. You're on TNT Radio.
Matt Boyland here with a quick check of the day's headlines. Republicans have condemned the FBI's raid on former President Donald Trump and have vowed to investigate the agency's actions when they take back control of Congress. It's been revealed Israeli security forces shot and killed two teenage Palestinians during clashes in the occupied West Bank on Tuesday. And despite ratcheting up tensions with China by visiting Taiwan, US House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says her trip was worth it.
For a complete list of shows and our schedule offered on TNT Radio, simply visit our website at tntradio.live. We serve up the latest live news and current affairs presented by a host of credible and expert commentators who can separate fact from fiction, truth from propaganda, keeping you in the loop on TNT Radio.
We're here with Harry Hatzikalymnios. And whilst it's a hard word to say, what Harry's got to say is, I tell you what, there is so much, because you're listening to a retired federal police officer who is doing the research. He's living in the moment and he's revealing facts that many of us may be aware of, but many that we are not. And Harry, your deep research into the origins of COVID and gain of function research must be horrifying. I remember way back in 2020, it's hard to believe it's called COVID-19 as we approach 2023 and we're still talking about the same things about this virus. And when you compare it against SARS-CoV-1 the first time around in 2003, it was done and dusted. And yet this time around with the vaccine and it's dragging into year four, one wonders if it is, in fact, the vaccine. How could you conclude any other way? And it's pretty obvious because any parts of the Western world are struggling. Whilst you look at countries, I beg your pardon, continents like Africa, and COVID is a thing of the past. The failed state, as our presenter Jeremy Mill from South Africa said, has actually worked the opposite way, and people are just ignoring it, getting on with their lives, one, because they don't care, and two, because they have to, and of course there isn't the suffering over there. So it's so interesting that they can manage in the Western world to completely isolate societies and run this false narrative of compliance. Is it possible that we can conclude in any other way that this is simply a delivery system to make people take mRNA vaccines?
Well, look, there's no doubt Pfizer, all the Pfizer, Moderna, in the Pfizer documents that were released, it's very clear from the testing that they knew that these things were harmful and what the effects were, and they took the test results out, and there's been a couple of whistleblowers that have testified in Congress to that in the USA. So, you know, they know what they're doing, why they're doing it. I mean, you know, we've got World Economic Forum, we've got Bill Gates with his depopulation agenda, Planned Parenthood. I mean, yeah, and this is changing. You know, this is an mRNA changing your DNA, and it's replicating, and we don't know where it's going to end up, but we do know that, you know, a coronavirus is a common cold. Now, it's a sound fact in science, in medicine, that you cannot create a vaccine for the common cold. So why they're even trying to do it, it baffles me. But you've only got to listen. I think it's Professor Peterson. He came out in September last year. There's a video. It's on my Telegram page. It's a 6-minute where he goes through. He calls the epidemiologists fools. He says the chief medical health officer at the time, Commonwealth, they all know all this. They know it's not effective, but why are they pushing it? So the only conclusion you can come to is when there's a lot of doctors, virologists speaking out that are saying that what we're doing is dangerous and harmful, and we're seeing the results now by the adverse effects that are not fully being reported because doctors are being told not to, and that it's being shunned and they're hiding the data. You know, why are they still going on with this, you know, with this agenda, with this narrative? If it's not safe and effective, they keep saying that in the ads. It's safe and effective. Now, children are not affected by this, so why are they giving it to the children? So you've got to ask yourself, what is this all about? And you know, unfortunately, when you sit back in this cold day of light of day and look at it and look at everything, there's only one conclusion that you can really draw, and I don't like to say this, but obviously someone, somewhere, has decided they want to kill as many people as they can. It's the only conclusion you can come to, and everyone's just going along, you know, following orders. I mean, not everyone. Everyone says, oh, a conspiracy, you know, everyone couldn't be in it. No, they're not. It's been run from the top. It's been run from the WHO, which a lot of people say is controlled by China. And what does China want to do? So even if you look at that angle, forget about Bill Gates and all that information that's out there. Yeah, look, yeah. When you look at it all, why would any government want to inflict so much harm onto their people? It just doesn't make sense. And the only conclusion you can come to is that it's deliberate and they want to do it. And then you've got to say, well, why are they doing it? And you know, there's a few theories out there, and yeah, you know, we can speculate all day. But all we know is that it is happening. And people are getting sick and they're dying and they're not being protected from what they're saying is COVID-19.
And so we arrive at what appears to be then the perfect crime. We invented disease through gain of function. We put it out there into the population. We present the solution, a one-size-fits-all solution, and everyone wants to go along with the to look good and to virtue signal and to go along with these new global organizations. We then introduce a pandemic treaty to say, look, we've all got to go along with it. We then ridicule and mock everyone that goes against it. We mandate for it. And we continually do this. And when the results come through, we blur the edges on everything. And all of a sudden, the symptoms of the vaccine injury mimic the symptoms of the virus. It's all easy to cover up. And then we can just pretend that heart attacks and strokes and blood clots are just a normal thing. And we can put that down to climate change and to laughing and to being happy and to gardening and anything else that you can possibly think of that is not a vaccine. At what point do you look at this, Harry, and just go, can you stop insulting my intelligence here? And to all my former colleagues, what are you thinking?
Look, I think there was a study in 1999 done, and it said that, you know, mass formation psychosis, a lot of people, unfortunately, are mentally ill, and they've come through a system, they've been programmed. Unfortunately, what we've got is we've got generations of individuals have come through the education system and been programmed and taught a certain way, and unfortunately they're a product of that environment. And unfortunately, we've got a lot of those in corporate world, in public sector, and that's what we're seeing. I think a lot of people are just going along because that's their reality. It may not be reality, but yeah, your perception of reality is your reality. It may not be the case. And there's an old thing, you know, the truth is the truth as well, no matter how many, even if everyone else says that this is incorrect, but if it's the truth, it still remains the truth, even if it's only one person saying it and no one else can see it. Now, unfortunately, that's where we come to, that a lot of people have been programmed and cannot see what's going on, and they believe that taking a vaccination, which is a poison, it's in the Poisons Act, is actually strengthening your immune system, where it's actually doing the opposite. Every time you take a poison and you put a vaccine into your system, hoping to get a reaction to something that'll give you immunity, you're actually lowering your immune system. And now we've got to the point where people have been taking, I don't know how many, and then we've got this mRNA technology, and depending on your lifestyle choices and what you've done through your life as you get older. You're like a car's great when it's new, but if it's not looked after and gets a bit old, it has some teething issues and it could break down and then stop working. And that's where we find ourselves today. And you just got to look around, 10-year-olds with, you know, cellulite, diabetes, and, you know, we're eating genetically modified food, everything, you know, everything in the food, and, you know, and now we're talking about eating bugs, you know, so it's just been a slow progression, like a slow creep, and then people just haven't really realised what's been going on. It's the old put the frog in the water and turn the heat up slowly, they'll just stay there until, if you keep turning it up slowly, they don't notice until they're cooked. And I think that's where we're at. We're at the point now where, you know, it's pretty much boiling point, and a lot of people are either jumping out of the water, the boiling water, or they're staying in there, and unfortunately, they're getting cooked. And it's very sad that a lot of people who've thought they're doing the right thing are victims and don't even know it, and just keep going along with this. I just don't know what to say anymore. And, you know, and we see the brave officers. In all the services, in the first responders that have stepped out and who are the critical thinkers and actually speaking up, and have had to be sacked under a no confidence section of the police act, which is really was put there for police that were doing the wrong thing and corruption, but now to find it being used because you're exercising your constitutional right to bodily autonomy is very sad. Now that's a failure of leadership and management, that you're getting rid of people that are actually critical thinkers and understand what's happening. So in reality, everyone that, you know, the simple solution is just to sack all the management of every bureaucracy, every police force. It's been a failure of management, and put those people that have stood up, because they're your true leaders, they're the ones that we need in those positions, put them in charge, and this problem will be solved very quickly. We'll be very quickly be able to arrest and indict the conspirators of what's been going on here. And, you know, we're talking about Event 201, we're talking about Jane Holton, we're talking about the Scott Morrison's advisory committee, because everything was going okay until the advisory committee was put in place, and all of a sudden the whole narrative changed and the response changed. It went along with Event 201, which happened in September 19, which was Bill Gates, it was the Imperial College of London, and it was also I forget the other one there in America, and that's where it all changed. And it's very, very easy to fix this problem, is get the right people in the right places and then get the job done. But unfortunately, it's going the other way, and that's why nothing's being done, because the whole system's been corrupted from the top to bottom. And Bill Hefferman clearly hit on that in 2014 or 15 in his famous speech in the Senate about the Royal Commission into institutionalised child corruption, so paedophilia, where the terms of reference needed to be extended to include the judiciary, the constabulary, and also the community services and every bureaucracy that has anything to do with the with children. And it's been a failure of leadership and political leadership, and no resolve to get the job done. But that's what we need now. We need everyone to stand up. Peaceful non-compliance is what we need with what's happening in the Netherlands and in Europe with the farmers and the truckies. And that's what will solve. You know, the people do have the power. They just don't realise it. And unfortunately, they've been victimised and they've been put through these psychological operations and programmed to think that, you know, they need the government to do the job for them, and that's nothing further from the case. Government's just got to get out of the way and let free markets do their job.
And yet the irony is that the opposite is exactly what they want: more power, more control, and living in a world that is entirely feels like a matrix, which is where Elon Musk went with that story. He came out and said that, you know, he feels like we're living in a matrix. And I did some thinking on that one, Harry, and thought, well, how could it be that and how would it work? And it's no more than just living within or being corralled within, let's say, a pen, and you have a certain set of things that you're allowed to do and a certain set of things that you're not allowed to do, and therefore you would be living under another human being's control and therefore a form of a matrix. And it feels like that this is what it's all about. It's nothing more than that.
It is. Everyone, and that's what they've done. They've kept themselves in check because they're too scared to say anything because they're worried about what the next person will say. That, you know, we're a community. We're meant to be a group. We're meant to belong. And if as soon as you say something contrary, all of a sudden you may not be part of that group or that social, and all of a sudden you don't want that. So everyone keeps themselves in check. And when you go to school, they tell you, you've got to do this today. You've got to go to university if you want to be this. And now they're bringing everyone down to that level. And this is all to do with mindset and health. To have a healthy mindset and to be empowered, you've also got to have a healthy mind, healthy body. And what's happened now with the way this system has gone, and the pharmakia, the fake science that they're pushing, fake medicine through pills, which are poison from snake oil, from petroleum, can never give you a healthy mind. So without a healthy mind, we'll never give you a healthy body. So you can never have a healthy mind. Now, one of my, this is what I'm trying to do with my Telegram page and my Facebook, is to get people to think for themselves, empower themselves, and take control and step out of that fear. Now, once you've done that, like that Dr. Bray, you could see after he came out and spoke out at that conference, he thanked the security for being nice. It was like a weight lifted. He was empowered because all of a sudden he'd gone from being down and depressed because he was in a system that was doing the wrong thing. All of a sudden he's spoken out, got it off his chest, and he's empowered. So it doesn't matter what they do to him, whether they get rid of his license. He's a doctor. He's going to be successful at whatever he does, and this is the same for anyone. One door closes, three doors open. Now, this is the big secret that the system wants to, what that keeps from everyone. You are all powerful, and you can be and do whatever you want. The only thing that's keeping you down and in your box is you. Now, once you realize that, you can step out and do whatever you want. Chase your passion and be good and empower. And the way to do that is to raise all ships, you know. You know, people have gone from, people don't understand the way to get ahead is not by cheating or putting people down. And this is the way to get ahead is by empowering everyone and bringing everyone along and giving your knowledge and sharing it. And that's the big secret that the system keeps from everyone, that you're all powerful and you can do it. And once everyone realizes that, it's game over. And that's what all this shadow banning, this propaganda, you know, look, you know, Twitter's 50% bots and Facebook is the same. Look, Google is an NSA program to capture all the information. Facebook is the same. All these social platforms, all with the algorithms, are all meant to control. It's a matrix. Now you got to step out of the matrix. You got to be in this world, but not of this world. It's very clear. So once you understand all that, you can use that to do whatever you want to do, make as much money as you want to do, and work in the system or outside the system. And work ethically and act ethically and with honour and with discernment and help everyone along the way. And that's what I'm doing on my Telegram channel, my Facebook, and giving all this away for free, because the more you give out, the more you get back. And that's held me in good stead in my life, and that's what everyone should be doing. If everyone was doing the same, the world would be a better place. And that's probably the best advice I can give anyone. And, you know, and if we all did that, we would be much better people and a much better world.
Yeah, beautifully put. We're going to take a quick break. Harry, when we come back, I'm going to ask you about your thoughts on the idea that police officers are going to have to take yet another jab just to keep their jobs. It's impossible. Please don't go anywhere. We'll be back after this break. You're on TNT Radio.
You were warned. Climate lockdowns looming. Biden set to issue climate emergency in the United States.
From Washington, D.C., this is the Morano Minute with your host, TNT Radio's Mark Morano.
President Joe Biden is now seriously considering the declaration of a climate emergency in order to follow the COVID emergency. And by the way, the U.S. is still under their COVID health emergency. How long will a climate emergency last? What powers will it give Joe Biden? For those of you pining away for the COVID lockdowns, President Biden will have the ability to deploy 130 different presidential powers that require no consent of Congress. Yes, it has come to that. A permanent emergency where democracy is permanently suspended. There's only one way to fight back, the great resist. For the Morano Minute, this is Mark Morano on TNT Radio.
In times of fear, World Vision is there for the most vulnerable. For the last 70 years, we've been standing with kids and families through natural disasters, war, and disease, delivering life-saving aid and helping rebuild lives. And with every act of courage, faith, and love, we do more than just stop the spread of fear. We replace it with hope. Learn more at worldvision.org.
News more twisted than soap operas.
Ugh.
And with worse actors.
You can't be serious.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back to the program. In news that's only just come out, a frozen food brand, whose name shall remain nameless, has decided to change the spelling of its chicken Kievs to now spell the second word K-Y-I-V in yet another virtue signaling attempt to show the world how stupid they really are. And we learned that Terry Gilliam, the famous Monty Python star, has been cancelled from his old play at the Old Vic, I should say, in London, and all of his Monty Python mates have been silent all over a few jokes, and he calls it the death of comedy. And indeed it is. Harry, it's a whole lot bigger, isn't it, than just different professions. It's the whole world losing its mind in ways that the hive mind has taken over from free will. And when we move into this new age now that police officers are going to line up for jab number four, when earlier in the program we proved that no one under 70 is dying from this at all, regardless of how many jabs they're taking, what would be the point of risking a police force at this stage with a fourth jab just to virtue signal? How does it make any sense?
Oh, look, it doesn't make any sense. Look, what's going on is it's called demoralization. It's straight out of the communist playbook, and that if you read Joel Skousen, the naked communist, and if you go through that and read that, you'll see everything that's been happening. It just follows, and part of that system, part of the process, is the LGBT movement, where a parent has to give permission to a doctor for an operation if they're under 18, but the schools can now speak to them about transitioning, whatever, and offer them medical procedures without the parent's consent. I mean, if you did that in the park, that's grooming, and you'd be charged. So it is grooming. It is pedophilia. There's no way other to put it. And I don't understand how people in the schools can actually just sit there and go along with this. So there's something's gone very, very wrong, and parents taking their children. A lot of parents don't even know what's going on, and they're actually keeping it secret from them. But coming back to the mandates now, you cannot conscript. It's gone to the High Court three times, and they've ruled that you cannot conscript. The relationship between the doctor and the patient cannot be interfered with, sanctimount. Now, and we've got the immunisation handbook that says that consent has to be given freely without threat, promise or inducement. Now, we've got the Privacy Act that says you cannot seek the medical records or even ask anyone without their permission. Now, we've also got the Immunisation Act that makes it it's a two-year prison sentence if you disclose someone's vaccination status. So, you know, these employers, these government bodies, whatever, corporates, are all breaching their legislation. Mm. Okay, there's a difference. We can go on to this. There's legislation which is legal, and there's lawful, which is common law. Now, even under the legislation, they're breaching. They're not even following their own legislation. And now they need to come up with a written order under the Biosecurity Act and give someone an order, a health order, because as to why they need to take it, and you can actually rebut that, take it to court and fight it. So they're not following any of their procedures or regulations or the law. So the very fact that they're not even effective, now what the police commissioners are doing there, they're not a biosecurity officer under the Biosecurity Act, so they're just giving an order under the Police Act, and they're disregarding the standards, their protocols, their duty of care. There's been no risk or threat assessment done. There's nothing being done under occupational health and safety. There's no safety data on this. They've got to supply a safe workplace, so they're not even doing that. So the police commissioners are breaching every law, every bit of legislation and guidelines, and then they're putting their officers at risk because the officers are questioning and they're saying, please provide the data, there is none, and they're saying, well, you've failed to comply with my directive. See you later, and they're using a section under various police acts, whether it's the AFP, which is Commonwealth, or the state police, which are generally used for police officers that have done the wrong thing, and the commissioner has lost confidence in their trustworthiness, or because they've been corrupt or been found not to breach the standards that are required under the regulations, which are the ethical standards, not medical bodily autonomy, and it's very sad. Now, meanwhile, you've got one case. I think it's Keneally's son is a New South Wales police officer. He's wrote up a statement which is and perjured himself, and now that individual's suing the New South Wales police and that officer, and he's still there operating in the New South Wales police. Meanwhile, you've got police officers that are effective operators that have been sacked, and we had the sad news that a few of them have taken their life. I just found out today that 2 days ago, one just stepped out in front of a truck in Sydney. He was one of the police officers who was exercising his inalienable right of bodily autonomy, and he's also got a wife that was a police officer or was in the service, and they were sacked as well under this provision. And we've got victims, and they're not only police officers, it's actually medical officers. It's a lot of people, even in corporate life. And these suicides and the mental health effect on what's transpired over the last 2 years are just being glossed over, which is more victims of these unlawful and unconstitutional dictates.
Harry, this is just so disturbing that someone in the police force feels like they've got no hope but to take themselves out in such a horrific way, leaving a family, a wife. It's absolutely it's impossible.
Men. Yeah, we've got good men and good women in all walks of life who've been put, who've pretty much have had, like, it's like putting a gun to their head. So, but the best way to equate this is our government's turned into the mafia, standover men.
Yes.
And this is what they're doing, and they're doing this to everyone in every walk. Look, there's no way of sugarcoating this. I'm just totally disgusted with what's happened. Okay, it's gloves off now. You know, like, you just got to call it as it is. I've got no respect for any bureaucrat in management, any police officer in management that's going along with this, because it's either malfeasance at a minimum. Because you're going along with this, which means you need to go, you're corrupt, or you need to go because you haven't done your research now, and looked into it. Like the commissioner in Queensland, I don't know what's happened with the Supreme Court case, but they were challenging the mandate, and what happened was she told the barrister she didn't turn up with the documents, and she said she made a decision based on what happened overseas with some overseas police forces on what she heard. And she hadn't even read the document. So I'm just thinking, if that's how she conducts her commissionership, I mean, what's she doing? I mean, you know, anyone in a position of, you know, it's trust but verify. You've got to go through the documents, and we used to cross the T's, dot the I's, read everything before you put an affidavit in. You read everything, you go over the evidence, double check, cross it, whatever, then you present it to the judge to get the affidavit, to get the warrant, or to get the warrant for the listening device, or whatever you're going to do. I mean, this is what police should be doing. This is just standard practice. Now, if that was me going to court and saying that to a barrister, I'd be up on internal. I'd be up with an internal investigation because I've just neglected my duty. I haven't done my job. So, but the police commissioner looks like can get away with it. When the barrister says to the police commissioner of Queensland, "Look, I've got some homework for you tonight. But can you go and find the documents, read them, and come back and please advise us on how you made this decision?" I mean, when we've got that happening in a court of, you know, in the Supreme Court, you just got to ask yourself what's going on in management. And like I keep saying, it's a failure of leadership and a failure of management. And unfortunately, it looks like we've got a lot of these people in these positions who shouldn't be at the, running these organisations or these bodies.
Yes, absolutely.
And we're seeing
right.
What's happening. I think it's just incompetence and malfeasance at a minimum, or that they know what's going on and they're going along to keep going along with it, which is not good either. But either way, you know, we need better leadership, and it's from the top, and it's been a failure, political leadership. You know, I don't care whether you're Labor or Liberal, it's left-right paradigm. I mean, that's just used to keep everyone in their box. And if you don't understand what's happened, Craig Kelly with with the member Christensen brought up a bill to enshrine our constitutional right that it cannot mandate. And now Scott Morrison said that you cannot mandate a vaccine, but what we saw in Parliament was Labor and Liberal voting against it. So you got Labor and Liberal, who are supposedly diametrically opposed, voted against a bill that enshrines our constitutional rights. Now, there's the treason. Now, if that doesn't wake everyone up, I don't know what will. And this is what we've got. You haven't got a choice whether you're a businessman or whether you're a labourer. The unions have abandoned the workers. The Liberal Party has abandoned the businessmen. All right, the small business. They're only looking after big corporates because they're the ones that have got the lobbyists and they're paying, and they're the ones that have got the influence. So if you don't understand what's going on or what's been going on since Gough Whitlam, okay, you've got no say. You just turn up and vote. You've got no say. Okay, it doesn't matter who's in there. It's not the lesser of two evils. You've got two evils and they all need to go. And
yes, they do.
You're not getting a say, so that's why we all need to stand up. And the only way we do that is to stop complying, peaceful non-compliance. Get
well
to know
said.
Your rights and take action. Yeah.
Well said, Harry. We've reached the end of the hour. It's been a great delight to speak with you. I thank you for being on the program, and I'd love to speak to you again. Don't go anywhere. You're on TNT Radio.